ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
I don't see this one.
Yes, but which one I'm reading?
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 12, Text 13. Gyatottama shloka gunanu vada prastuyate gramya कथा विघाता निषेव्यमनो नुदीनां मुमुक्षोर् मतिं सतिं यच्छति वासुदेवे।
Sorry, I'm not good at Sanskrit shlokas. Someone can maybe can.
Sisters, anyone? Yatra, in which place? In the presence of excellent devotees. Uttama shloka guna anuvada. Discussion of pastimes and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prastuyate is presented. Gramya katha vigraha, due to which there is no chance to talking of worldly matters. Nisevyamana, being heard very seriously. Anudinam, day after day. Mumuksha, of persons who are very serious about getting out of material entanglement. Matim, meditation. Satim, pure and simple. Yachati, is turned. Vasudeve, into the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva. Translation. Who are the pure devotees mentioned here? Question. In an assembly of pure devotees, there is no question of discussing material subjects like politics and sociology. In an assembly of pure devotees, there is discussion only of the qualities, forms and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is prized and worshipped with full attention. In the association of pure devotees, by constantly hearing such topics respectfully, even a person who wants to merge into the existence of the Absolute Truth abandons his this idea and gradually becomes attached to the service of Vasudeva. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The symptoms of pure devotees are described in this verse. The pure devotee is never interested in material topics. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has strictly prohibited his devotees to talk about worldly matters. Gramya Vartha Na Kahibe. One should not indulge in talking and unnecessary about news of the material world. One should not waste time in this way. This is a very important feature in the life of a devotee. A devotee has no other ambition than to serve Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Krishna consciousness movement was started to engage people 24 hours daily in the service of Lord and in His glorification. The students in this institution engage in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness from 5 in the morning to 10 at night. They actually have no opportunity to waste their time unnecessarily by discussing politics, sociology and current events. This will go their own way. A devotee is concerned only with serving Krishna positively and seriously.
Om Ajnati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakrahum Miltam Jaina Tasma Ishti Guravai Nama Shri Chaitanya Manu Visham Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Kram Kadam Ajnam Dadanti Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhulli Shimati Bhaktivedanta Swam Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachayane Nirvishya Sunyavadi Pashyate Deshatayane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Guru Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna.
It's very interesting. I didn't know that during the Srimad Bhagavatam time there was also politics. It says pure devotee is not speaking about politics, so means at that time also was politics going on. So it is like kind of a simultaneously they're going together, politics and spiritual life and light and dark. They're always constantly next to each other. However, we all know very well when we switch on our lights at night in our rooms, all the darkness immediately runs away. That magic button switch on and off. It's very simple. Everything is done by the electrician. They connected all the wires and everything is made and hang the bulb there. All you need to do is just switch on and off.
Srila Prabhupada, who is an electrician and actually head of an electrician in our movement, have put all the wires and everything, you know, everything has done for us just to switch it on and never off. If we can keep it on all the time, we get always this light. We'll never get used to this darkness. I am using this word used to because a human being always gets used to things. Sometimes we think that if some thorn gets in our feet, we think, oh my God, how I'm going to walk, how I'm going to do this, or one foot is swollen or whatever. Sometimes you cannot walk. You think, oh my God, how I'm going to go on like that. Or if somebody's left hand is, I don't wish anyone, but breaks, sometimes it happens, you fell down from the stairs. Then you think, oh my God, how I'm going to go on with one hand. But you get used to it. In this material world, with this Triguna, we get used to it. So many things. So many things that we would never think even before we would get used to it. Such thing. But we get used to it. I believe each and everyone, one of us, has some experience like that. Getting used to it. Now, there is also a very important thing to getting used to it. Getting used to it by chanting, getting used to it by waking up early in the morning, getting used to it eating only Krishna Prasad. When you get used to it, so to so many good things, that's good. But when you get used to it, some other bad things, that's not very good. Now, my grandmother has nothing to do with this Bhagavatam class, but she used to say a very smart thing. Never try anything which is prohibited or some you are doubtful. Once you try, you will try second time also, and third times also, and fourth time also, and it will keep going. So the best thing is never try. If somebody told that something is not good or you should not do, our parents, Srila Prabhupada, whoever, you better don't try. Because once you try, you will try it second time too. Once you try second time, you are in trouble. You will keep trying it. So, if it is at all possible, sometimes it's impossible, I understand. But if it is at all possible, you better don't try. Because you may get used to it. just a previous point was that you will get used to it. Once you get used to it, you are in trouble. Then it's very, very hard, going to be very, very hard to give it up. So here we were talking about pure devotees and qualities of the pure devotees, and 24 hours engagement of the devotees. It is a very, very serious thing. Being 24 hours in service of Krishna, can you imagine that? That means even while you are sleeping, you are engaged in somehow or other Krishna's service. That's what it means. That's what I understood. Because one day has only 24 hours. And we are utilizing these 24 hours according to our understandings, according to our understandings, according to our abilities to utilize properly these 24 hours for our Krishna consciousness or for our sense gratification, for whatever we have to utilize. It is given to us. It is absolute freedom how you will use these 24 hours for you. But unfortunately, we all know that we are not stable. We are never stable. We are never going like this, straight. We always go little up, come little bit down, and going little bit more up, again coming down. Now this is natural procedure. Why? Because we are in Triguna. We are under the control of Triguna, this Sattva, Rajas and Tama. Nobody is purely situated in pure Sattva. Hardly we notice, we see such people. Sometimes person you think he must be situated in pure Sattva, he is getting angry and doing something that you think, oh my God, how sattvic person can do this? Or sometimes person in Rajaguna shows some qualities which is only Sattva Guna people can do that. Or opposite, does something which is horrible in Tamaguna. And we are not talking about people in Tamaguna because they can act very madly, and sometimes maybe they can show some qualities of the Rajaguna, but never Sattva Guna. It's impossible. So this, we are all mixture of these three gunas. And everything in this material world divides into these three guna. Our food, our speech, our attitude, our walk and talk, everything is under the control of this triguna. Sattva Rajas Tama mixture. Just like this RGB in Photoshop, there is a program, actually great program, I would say, a wonderful program which is used very often for Krishna consciousness. Thanks a lot for the people who have created this wonderful program. I use it also very often. There is RGB, red, green, blue. By mixing this red, green, blue, you get mixture of hundreds of thousands of different colors. Can you imagine that? Just three colors. But by adding or subtracting this, percentage of those colors, you get thousands of, perhaps millions of colors you can get if you want to. Just sit and play. 1% of this, 10% of that, 8% of the other one, like this. You can all like this mix. So similarly, all these modes of material nature, Sattva, Rajas and Tama, is mixture within us. We always act like that. Even day is divided also in Triguna, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. In morning hours considered to be a sattvic hours. In afternoon it's little bit rajasic, and in evening it's tamasic. And we see that the people in Tamaguna, they get very active in night time when everybody is sleeping.
And there is a saying that while sadhu is, morning is for the sadhu, it's night for the people in tamaguna, materialistic people. And it's opposite. When devotees are sleeping very sweetly, so that in the morning, they're thinking in the morning we'll wake up and do some sadhana and kirtan and some whatever for Krishna. That's the most important thing. The people in the nightclubs, they celebrating the just the beginning of the day. They drink all kinds of alcohol, they use all kinds of things, whatever, drugs and women, men, women mixed together. They enjoy this, enjoy that atmosphere at night. Nighttime, the emotions are coming out. They get very, very hyper, you know, kind of a mood. So, because of these ups and downs, this is very normal thing in our life. We don't have to get too much of kind of a discouraged. Sometimes it will happen. Never get discouraged. Just go on and on. And that's what Srila Prabhupada says, do whatever you want, but never give up chanting. Same he told us also for the Soviet devotees, do whatever you can, do whatever you want, but never give up book distribution. And KGB, opposite, was telling, do whatever you want at home, but never distribute books. So, now, whom to listen? We'll naturally listen to Srila Prabhupada, so... anyways, so when you go up and down, sometimes you see little more, just like, you know, you going by the train, sometimes you go up and you see something behind the this little tree, and sometimes you go down, it hides from your vision. It goes up and down, up and down. But you know actually something there exists, although you don't see. And when you see, you don't get too much excited, because you know that you will come down also. There is a very good saying actually, be careful on your way up. When you're going up and up, people start glorifying you and you're going up. He says, be careful on the way up, because you never know whom you will meet on the way down. And how you will feel. So don't ignore your friends, your family members, brothers and sisters. Don't be, in other words, puffed up when you get some one more key hanging from your Brahmana thread. We have some devotees, they hang keys from the Brahmana threads. First it's one key only from the drawer where they keep the clothes, but then it's becoming two from the godown also, and then three from, you know, somewhere else, and then it's become bunch of keys. So this bunch of keys are hanging from the Brahmana thread, and when they, while they're working, they're shuck, 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 making some kind of a noise, you know. So we have to be very, very careful. Don't get too much, because you never know, someday Brajahari Prabhu will call you and tell to give the keys to somebody else. Isn't it? It happens. That's why he says, be careful on the way up, because you never know whom you will meet. Bhakta George you will meet on the way down. And he will say, hey, good morning. Haribol. How are you doing today? Yesterday you were not noticing me. So always this phenomenon is there, that sometimes we forget where we are coming from and where we are heading. But that will happen, never get discouraged. We do mistakes. Everybody does mistakes. No one sitting here is free from the mistakes. Mistakes are our good teachers. You should not get too much into pain when you do some mistakes, because collection of these pains are called what we call experience. And experience means that you know already something that you can already suggest to someone, because you went through that difficulties, you can suggest someone already. And this suggestion, you don't take it other words, suggestion in a Hare Krishna. Suggestion I'm telling in a good way. Not that you are big and you suggest someone. No. Even someone small, short, can go through some experiences in life much faster according to the karma, that he can suggest someone because he already been there. Chanakya Pandit says there are also free lessons. You don't need to pay for everything. You don't need to experience everything in your body to know that this is, you know, painful or whatever, hurts. You can look at some people who are doing mistakes and you just know that same will happen to you. So why to try this? When we were in a jail, we didn't know what in certain time how to act, and we were asking how to do in this particular case. And our Guru Maharaj used to say, you just look at around what the materialistic people they're doing and do the opposite and it will be right, because they are always doing everything wrong. So whatever they're doing, you just do the opposite and you will be right. So in this way, why to do repeat the mistakes of others? It's a free lesson, you just take it and you don't repeat it. And the most important is, okay, these ups and downs are okay, and pulling back and just like a bow and arrow, huh? Sometimes it says you have to pull the bow, you know, that the thread, it's very, very tight. You pull it as much as possible and you make it straight, the arrow. This pulling is actually going back. But then what happens, we all know. We put on the right spot and then let it go and it hits to the target. Or the trampoline. In order for you to jump up and make all kinds of movements and then jump in the water on the trampoline, you first go down and then you go up. And sometimes more down you go, more power you get, and then you come, you know, up very, very high. But again, you never forget that you were there sometimes. Never get puffed up, proud, in other words. And notice also what is happening next to you, around you, what's going on. Time to time you give you also leave some room for thinking of others also, how the others are feeling there also. There is a beautiful story of a man, a rich man who was driving his Ferrari, and all of a sudden, and he was going very fast, you know, you can imagine, everyone can imagine the Ferrari, huh? Going very fast. Of course, in Mumbai traffic, you don't need a Ferrari because it will just be useless, because Ferrari needs big rod, you push and it goes like, you know, 12 cylinder engine, you know, you can, everybody can imagine, you know,
350 or 400 horsepower, you know. Very difficult to imagine. In a few seconds, matter of 3-4 seconds, it goes 200-250 kilometers per hour. Very powerful, very expensive. Sometimes $2-3 million, one piece of iron. So he was going very fast on the road, and then all of a sudden, somebody threw a big brick on his car, on the door, and door get inside, you know, right, smashed. He immediately, naturally stopped the car and drove back. And there were many children, but he noticed that one child was afraid, you know, like scary. He was sitting there looking at him with scary face. He opened the door and he came and grabbed this boy. He said, "What the hell you did to my car?" And this boy started to cry. He said, "Sir, I'm very, very sorry. But there was no other way to stop you. I was supposed to throw a brick on you. Otherwise, you will never stop. You will never notice me." He said, "What's the problem?" He said, "Sir, I am extremely sorry, but my elder brother, whom I bring for the walk on the wheelchair, we hit to the stone and my brother fell down and he is so heavy, I cannot bring him up and he is bleeding. Can you please come and help me to put him back on his wheelchair so that I can take him home?" And this was like a shock for this man. He stopped for a moment. He helped the boy. And he was looking behind them how they were going. And he came to the car. He looked at the door. You know, there was hardly 5 meters away. He was hardly 5-10 meters away from the car. But before he came, he walked this 10 meters. It was like 1 kilometer for him. Because he was constantly thinking, "Oh my God, if I wouldn't go that fast, I would notice that this person is laying down there. I could stop my car and help him out." And he decided that he is not going to fix his door of his Ferrari, so that each time he comes to sit on the Ferrari to drive, that he will go slow, so he will notice people next to him also, next to the road. So in this way, as a devotees, unfortunately, we also sometimes we forget who we were before, where we are coming from, where we are heading, we know, but where we are coming from and how was our situation just few years back, we forget. We very often forget. And pride is coming to our heart. And we start telling this, you know, "These karmis, you know, meat eaters, and, you know, materialistic people, and blah, blah, blah." But come on, push your brake for a moment. Where you were yesterday? You weren't with them? You weren't one of them? And today you become so big, you're already criticizing them? See, if you want to help them, the first thing you have to do is to understand them, why they're acting like that. Because they don't have knowledge. Because they need your maybe help. And if you approaching them with humility,
And if you approaching them with stable mind, without any criticism, then they will accept whatever you're saying. Like a sponge is taking water. Drop by drop. You just take a sponge and make a test. You drop water, drip water. One by one, it will just suck. All will suck in. Just like that. You give drop by drop this nectar to them without criticism. This foolish idea of criticizing others has to absolutely come out from our consciousness, no matter what. But no, we became so much, you know, proud. Sometimes we criticize even devotees. What is this sickness? Please, kindly stop criticizing each other. You never know why he or she is acting like that. And from our experience, we know already, and we know very well, that actually anyone acts little bit strange or more strange, dresses up strange, walks strange, talks strange, that means he or she has some problem. And now who you are here to help him or her to solve or sort it out, to understand what is the problem, or you are here to push him or her even more down? Who we are? What is our mission? To show that how fallen they are? That everyone can do. It's so easy. Just go out to the street and you will see so many fallen souls there and start laughing and criticizing them. So it's so easy. But you help someone to stand up. Give your hand. Give your danda stick. Pull him out. That's a difficult part. Because some of them are stinky, some of them are mad, some of them they don't want that. The other day I was telling the story of the mother and son traveling on the train. And son was 20 years old, mother was with him, and they go by two-tier AC, Mumbai, Delhi. And other two couples was there, one couple was there, wife and husband was sitting in the next seats. And as soon train started to move, this 20-year-old boy started to get excited. Oh, mommy, can you see these trees are moving? Can you see these mountains are moving? Oh, mom, you see the birds are flying and stuff like that. And then this wife and husband, they start talking to each other. Hey, what the hell is going on? This guy is 20-year-old and he is excited. So like 5-year-old boy, what's going on? First they were talking between themselves, and then they could not tolerate how much this boy is getting excited. The husband pulled a blanket on him and turned his face and wanted to sleep to don't see this foolishness. But wife, women are more, you know, determined. After some time could not tolerate this and asked the woman, oh yeah, the mother was telling, yes, my boy, yes, yes, it is so nice, isn't it? And she was like encouraging the boy in every aspect, anything he would say. And then the lady could not tolerate this and asked, madam, what's going on? Your son is first time in a train or what? She said, no, my son has been many, many times in a train. But this is first time he can see all this, because from birth he was blind. And we are just coming from the surgery, from the hospital, and I'm taking him back home. And today his eyes are open. This is first time he can see all this wonderful, this world, the colors which we can see. He never seen, he never experienced this. And then this lady was like this, hanging head. Why people are acting in that particular way? We don't know. And we don't even have to know. Because each and every one of us is struggling, has his own cross to carry. And when you criticize, tomorrow you do the same or even worse. So this criticism should never ever be our one of our qualities, no matter what. Just calm down. Just wait. You will get the answer for that. Just let's be honest. When we were just joined to this movement, each and every one of us had so many questions to ask, isn't it? So many questions to ask our Guru Maharaj, our God brothers, God sisters. So many questions are there. But sometimes from your heart you feel that this question is maybe not appropriate or maybe a little bit foolish, and you don't want to ask, or you don't know how to ask, isn't it? And then one day you get the answer. If you just wait, you're getting the answer from someone, from different source, and someone tells from someone's experience, free experience. You don't pay for that. But patience, just little bit, having a patience, it save your life. You didn't look like fool by asking this question. So you just waited little bit and you got an answer for your question. And it's so nice. Similarly, don't be hurry too much, because you don't know what you are missing next to the road. So push the sometimes brake also in your Ferrari while you are riding, driving. And the most important, we get also a lot of experience in our life. We get some training, and all these trainings are for us to make us stronger. And the faith is the most important thing. They are saying that there is some Cherokee, some culture is there that when son is a boy is coming to the certain age, like 7 or 8, I don't remember exactly the age, the father has to put a blinder on his head and tie it here and take him to the jungle, very, very deep to the jungle. And the exam, the test is that boy has to sit like this, like I am sitting here, straight, all night. And he is allowed to take his blinder out only when he feels that sun is already shining, light is coming through some in the morning. In other words, all night he have to sit like that, straight, without a movement. And he cannot cry also for help, because when you cry in a help in a jungle, you never know, a tiger will come to help you, or, you know, I don't know, jackals, or, you know, wolves. So you have to be very quiet, quietly sitting there. Any movement may be dangerous, because you may fall down. It's a like a kind of a dangerous position. You have only seat, and under it you will fall down, or animals will come and eat you up, ferocious animals. So the test is actually never told to other boys. This is the most important thing. One boy when he passed his test, is not allowed to tell the other boy what was his test in a jungle. What test his father given to him. You can imagine this? So, then what happens? This boy is sitting there. Of course, tears are going on, but he cannot scream out because it's very, very dangerous. His father left him there and gone home. And tomorrow morning, he has to walk alone back home from there, find his way home. And that is his test. And guess what? All night, he's sitting there with fixed mind, passing his exam, passing his test. And then in the morning, all night, dangerous sounds are coming, you know, very scary. You can imagine in a jungle, you know. Very dangerous, scary sounds are coming, but he have to fix mind, sit there. And then finally in the morning when birthday start singing, his test is over. He takes out his blinder to walk already home and he sees his father is sitting next to him. And protecting him all night. And taking care of him all night. So similarly, Lord Krishna, sometimes we don't see because we are blind. Not only physically like me, I am blind, but mentally blind. And when we get blind by heart, blind by faith, then we don't notice that Krishna is there. Watching us, protecting us. We are being scared in a jungle of this material world. Very often, we don't know actually. We forget that Krishna never leaves us. He promised us if we do full dandavats, by not only body but by mind and heart and soul, then he will protect us. Krishna is telling clearly in Bhagavad Gita, I'll protect you. And every day, if not every day, every week, if not every week, every month, if not every month, every year, we come to the conclusion that yes, he is watching us. Because when you do some mistake, when something happens to you, you think, why this happened? But then, after sometimes you think, if this would not happen, then I would not be here, sitting here. Isn't it? That's how it is. We don't know why things are happening to us, but we have to accept it. Accept it and continue going on. Sometimes when good things are happening to us, bad things are happening to us, we always ask God, why to us? Not to others, but to me. Why? What the hell I have done that all these bad things are coming to me? But you see, when good things are happening to us, we never ask why. Why it's coming to us? Similarly, this we have to be also careful in our devotional life, go a little slow in our Ferraris. And the most important thing is always notice what's happening you around you. Don't get too puffed up. And be careful on the way up because you don't know which bhakta you will meet on the way down. And that's Srila Prabhupada's teachings also. And in 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is very nicely, you know, describing these good qualities of the devotees, you know, and the humility is the number one. You think this is accidentally? No, it is not accidentally there, number one. It is there because it is the most important thing, this humility. Now, you don't also have to be humble, so humble that in your village everybody throw stone on you, just like, you know, Marihari was doing, that Narada Muni's disciple were doing, and he said, "Man, Muni." He gave instructions to the snake. He said, "Never bite people. Scare people. People are scared from you. He said, "What to do?" He said, "You be humble." And this humble humility he took too serious, and he became so humble he was not biting, he was not doing anything. So all the children would come and with sticks start beating him, throwing stone on this snake. And then next time Muni was passing through, he saw this snake is half dead laying down there. He said, "Dandavat Maharaj, but you see my situation. I am here laying down all bleeding, you know." He said, "Man, I told you don't bite, but I didn't tell you to don't show this, you know, hood. So you show it, but you don't bite." Because sometimes also if devotees are too much humble, the materialistic people, these demons, I would say, they become so much, energetic, and they thinking, "Oh, these guys are so humble, we can beat and hit and do whatever we want to." Like for example, my friend Sachisuta Das, he was in a jail, we were in a jail together. He was so humble that, the KGB would, for the book distribution of course, we were not there for the crime, other crime. They took once, both of us to the police station, and they took the books away, and they took all the money, everything we had, documents. And they started beating us and asking where these books are coming from and blah, 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 so many questions. And they were beating us very, very badly. And while they were beating, they were cursing also. Huh? The karmis, you know how it is. We have seen many Indian movies how they do it. Hat! So, and they say, tell, curse your mama, curse your papa, curse Srila Prabhupada, curse Krishna, everyone. So when they were doing all these things, Sachisuta was telling, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." And when they were cursing me, once I was telling them twice. Now, they were beating me also, they were beating Sachisuta also, same guys anyways. Now, when they were beating me, I was telling them twice, I was getting peaceful, at least I returned them, whatever. I was like that. I got too much punishment for that, for returning back to them. Too many punishment, because I never could swallow all what they were telling. And Sachisuta was just exactly the opposite of me, and he would sit like this, They would beat him like that, and he would go the other way. They would beat him from the other side, he would come this side. And then they were beating me, getting tired of beating me, and they were coming and beating him. He was not talking anything. They said, "Hey, why you are not talking?" And they will start beating him again. For not talking. For not answering. Then, after they lock us in a room, and I was telling you, "Guy, stupid. See, they were anyway beating you. They were beating me also, they were beating you also. At least I was telling them and I was getting peaceful." Satisfied because I have returned them, whatever they were telling. And he was telling me, no, Sarva Bhavana, no. This is not good to do, And we were helping each other, He was bleeding his nose, I was, cutting some cloth and putting in his nose, and I was bleeding here on my forehead. Still I have this scarf memory of the KGB. Every morning when I stand in front of the mirror, I notice so many things, and each dot and each something is reminding me some story, So I can never forget these guys. When I see police with his badges and everything, my heart gets, turned. I still could not forgive. Sometimes devotees, they ask me, "Did you forgive these people who they done this?" No, honestly, no. I still didn't. Doesn't matter Indian police or United States police or Armenian or Russian police. When I see police, I remember my past. It's very, very hard to forget. because I lost a very, very good friend, and friends, my only friends who actually sacrificed their life for this Krishna consciousness movement, for Srila Prabhupada. And it is unbelievable how tremendous difficulties these devotees, they went in order to make this movement registered in the Soviet Union at that time. Then, now there is no Soviet Union, of course. There is 16 different independent republics and 16 different cultures, 16 different currencies, 16 different languages. And but the good thing is that all these sacrifices didn't went on vain, because now in all these 16 republics we have devotees, and we have in these 16 languages Srila Prabhupada's books translated, and we have in these all 16 republics, some of the 16s don't have, but rest they have the temples, their centers, and Mahamantra is written on the 16 different languages. And in other words, Srila Prabhupada's revolution took place in all these 16 countries at once. Because when Srila Prabhupada has arrived, there was a, at that time there was a, so USSR, and by arriving to Moscow and giving initiation to one devotee, he started the Ananta Shanti, he started the movement, and it started to spread widely in USSR. And since it was the good thing that this seed has, Prabhupada threw a seed and it fell on the right perfect ground, which gave a beautiful plant and give lots of seeds, fruits and seeds, and distributed in all over the United USSR. Very, very fast, rapidly. Now, if I'm just by mind, just going back to 1980s, and I remember how handful of devotees we were there. By hand, we were making handmade books of Srila Prabhupada, and distributing them and sending to Russia from Armenia. Very, very hard work was going on, actually. Just a few years. And then so much change. Today we are sitting here, and in Russia is going such a huge festival. Other day I wrote an email to one devotee. I said, can you pass this message to this devotee, he is also there participating in that yatra, festival. He said, oh my God, Sarva Bhavana, please forgive me. If I see, I will tell him, because there are so many devotees, I don't know if I'll be see him again. So can you imagine? It is that big. But before we could name all the devotees in that all 16 republics. So seed was fell on the right ground, we would say. And by our dedication, honesty and determination, why not faith also, all this started to go on. And seed was, one seed was giving fruits already in one country, another seed was giving another country and give fruits, and then again many, many seeds. And today we have thousands of devotees and hundreds of centers. The biggest Bhakti Vriksha is in USSR now, and thousands of devotees are glorifying the names of Lord, building temples. It's so glorious, isn't it? That's because of our determination, faith and honesty. The seat, while we are talking about the seat, there was a CEO who wanted to retire, and he was supposed to give this multi-million dollar company in charge to keys to somebody else. And there was only 6 months left that he was supposed to retire, and he wanted to admit who will be the next CEO, but he could not. And after carefully checking everyone, he chose one, but he noticed that everybody will be envious of him and there will be a problem. And he was very smart. He found out some way how he could make sure that nobody is upset that this particular man will be the next CEO. And what he did, he called all these 7 people to the round table, and he explained that, you know, very soon I'm going to give up my position, and certainly I want one of you to be the next CEO. And in order to don't offend any one of you, I want to make a simple, you know, test, and then I will decide who will be the next CEO. And everybody was carefully listening him, and then he distributed 8 different seats, 7 different seats to all these 7 his assistants, and told them that this is a tulsi plant, you take and take nice care of it, and once in a month we will come together here and we will sit together, and every one of you has to bring your small pot and to show me how big is grown your tulsi. So next month meeting, everybody is coming with this small pot, and there is a little already, you can see that the plant is already trying to come out. And everybody was showing, and he was carefully coming and looking, the CEO. Everybody was having something there, and there was only one person in his pot, there was nothing. And then everybody was laughing at him, to that one person who on his pot there was nothing grown so far. And then next month again to the meeting, and everybody has already couple of centimeters big plant coming up, beautiful, and everybody was glorifying himself how nicely he's watering, how nice nice place he's keeping the pot and everything. That's why the plants are so big already. So everybody was proud that his plant is coming up nicely, growing nicely. And then again this one person was there, he has nothing in his pot, and everybody again was laughing at him, teasing, oh, look at this guy, he don't have nothing there, you know. So like this, third, fourth, fifth and sixth month already they're bringing big plants, and CEO is going around looking each and every plant, how does it look. And he was supposed to decide that day who will be the next CEO. And this guy still didn't have anything in his plant, in his pot. Everybody was laughing. and also criticizing. This is important. That he don't have anything in his pot. But then CEO look at all these seven candidates, and he came near to the guy who has nothing in his pot, and he gave him the keys and the stamp and the documents, everything, and he said he is going to be the next CEO. And everybody was in shock. Why? How is that? Look at our plants. This is not fair. You told us that actually whose plant is going to be the greenest, the best, beautiful. He is going to be the next CEO. Everybody was agitated. He said, my dear guys, my dear candidates, the seeds I have given you was boiled, and none of them could grow as green as you have. And this is the guy, the only guy who is honest within yourself. He didn't change the seat with the other Tulsi seat, and he came here as it is because he tried everything and nothing grew. And it was supposed to be like that, because the seeds I have given to you was boiled seeds. So everybody was hanging their heads, because when they went to home, they probably planted so many tulsis, and you know, as soon as they see which one is growing nicely, they will bring next time to cheat the CEO. In this way, in many different ways, sometimes, sorry to say this, but we also have our way of cheating others. But the worst thing is when we start cheating ourselves. When you're cheating others, at least we can think we are benefiting something. Oh, okay, something. Something benefiting. Material. Should be material, because by cheating you're not going to achieve something spiritual anyways. But that's okay. You are benefiting something, we'll say. But by cheating yourself, you are lost. You're losing everything. Whatever you have. All the good qualities. So in this way, I am allowed to speak till what time, Prabhu? Fifteen more minutes, yeah. So in this way, we come to know that who is the right person, because by showing externally, by dressing up nicely, by putting our tilaks very straight, and by, you know, having thick like this Brahmana thread and many keys hanging there, or, you know, big tulasis like this in our neck, this is just a show. Everything happens in your heart, and everything will eventually happen in your heart, because this is the main reason, the only reason we are here, because we want something to happen in our heart. We want some change, we want some revolution. If this revolution is not taking place in your heart, then you are in big trouble. Every day you have to feel something, some changes, gradual, not immediately, gradually. So that's what Srila Prabhupada did, gradually, and you see now the result. So many devotees are around and chanting the Maha Mantra. And why? We have a great saying, no? Chant and be happy. Chant and be happy. It's nice. Everybody knows this. Chant and be happy. It's so nice. How many happy people you see around? They are all chanting. How many happy people you see every day in this temple? If you are not happy, means you are not chanting. Isn't it? If it is a formula, chant and be happy, and you are chanting but you are not happy, that means you are not chanting. I am right or wrong? When person is happy, everybody will notice him. There is no way. No way you see happy person and you don't notice that he is happy. Because happiness is something that it's pouring from you, it's just coming out. And it's infection. It's a fungus actually. If someone else can get infected by you, if you are happy, you can infect others also to be happy. That is why Lord Chaitanya is telling you have to associate only with devotees. Because when you associate with karmis, with materialistic people, you get infected by them. Otherwise, why is he telling, don't associate with them? There's no any other reason. So means you associate with happy people, you become happy. Isn't it? Is it as simple as that? But how many people are happy here? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15. Rest are not happy. Isn't it? So that means rest of the devotees who didn't raise their hands, they are either honest because they're not saying they are happy. They're honest. Or they're not chanting. Or they are chanting but they are not chanting the way they have to chant to be happy. And my humble suggestion is you try sometimes the opposite also. Be happy and chant Hare Krishna. If this one don't work, chant and be happy, worth trying being happy and chanting the Maha Mantra. Try this at home. Sometimes there is a movies, you see, they say never try this at home. But this one you can try at home. And it's an individual process. It's an individual. No matter what we do here all together, we have to give up this body individually. And if anything we do, it will be between us and Upparvala. Because anything we do, we'll think, this brahmachari will not see what I have done. That Prabhu will not, Bhakta will not see. The temple president, maybe, maybe not. But Upparvala will see everything. The father and son, they were going to steal something, some vegetables. Father has a big bag. He took his big bag and he was with his son. When they came to the to the fence, the father was supposed to jump. Father looked around, left, right, everywhere, and he wanted to already jump. And his son said, Daddy, you forgot to look up also. And father was in shock. Oh my God! What this 15-year-old child is telling me? What a shock. Really, I look at left, I look at right, east and west, north and south, but I forgot to look up. And from where Upparvala is watching anything and everything we do. Even we lock our door and we think we are all alone. No, my dear, You are never alone. Someone is always watching you. And if you keep this consciousness, this point clear, that you are never alone. But don't be afraid that you are never alone. And, oh, I am not supposed to do this because he is watching me. No. Out of respect. See, when your mother and sister is there in a room, you don't take out all your clothes and lay down there. Because they are there. You respect them. You don't afraid. You can do that if you are insane, you are crazy, you can do that. But out of respect, you don't do that. Isn't it? So, I was told actually to speak about my book, called Salted Bread. I don't know, somehow or other, I'm very sorry. Maybe, you know, nothing is happening for no reason. Anything happens, there is a good reason behind. This is actually how my book started. If you read the first chapter in my book, that's how my son has started the book. I helped him, of course, a little bit. And he started like that. Nothing is happening without reason. So reason I am here sitting is also there. There must be some reason I am here. And reason today I couldn't speak about it also made me there. I don't know. So please forgive me. And also it's very painful actually. To each time speak about those crazy heavy experiences. Don't think it's so easy. Because each time I speak about it, some emotions are there, isn't it? I am not emotionless. When I speak about this, all these memories are coming back, no? And I also feel bad. Because each time you remember, you get like that pain in your heart. Like how KGB put my 8 fingers on the door and locked the door. Gradually, and he was telling, were you printing these books and closing the door until I faint? See, when I'm describing this to you, don't think that these words are just empty words and coming out of my mouth, isn't it? I'm going back to those days and feeling all what I used to feel that day. What is your good name? What? Jugal Krishna Das. Jugal Krishna Das. Jugal Kishore. Jugal Kishore. Hare Krishna. Jugal Kishore Prabhu is always sitting in front and attentively listening the class. Not only my class, but other classes also, I believe. Yes? You are always sitting there? This is your spot? Very good. So, now you know this is his spot. Never come and sit there, because he will get upset. Last time when I was talking about the mobile phone phenomenon, he was also unique. He was the only one, he says, he is less sinful because he is using less his mobile phone. And today when I said, who is happy amongst you, he was the first who raised his hand. So I am connecting these two things together now. If you are using less your mobile phones, you are also going to be happy like him. So you can try this also at home. It might be useful. Good. So anyhow, I just want to describe one very funny point of our fanaticism, how fanatic we were in during the early 80s when we didn't have much knowledge about Krishna consciousness. There were no books almost, you know, and Srila Prabhupada was mercifully, you know, given some devotees like Kirtiraj Prabhu and some others. Gopal Krishna Goswami, GBC of Harikesha Swami, they were GBC in Soviet Union, and they were trying their level best to smuggle whatever they can, whatever they could, you know. And each and every small item which was coming from India, from abroad, connected to Krishna, was so precious for us. Even the incense, you know, Agarpati, which is in India, just everywhere you go, it is just there, you know. I mean, you ask for free, people will give you. But we were getting upset if any devotee was having Agarpati. You were not supposed to burn this Agarpati alone, never. You are supposed to call few devotees, and then you are allowed to burn the incense. How? This is Mahaprasad, you have to share with your friends, no? It was so precious, that precious, even that single Agarpati. So, I just remember that we were making homemade books, Bhagavad Gitas. You cannot imagine, none of you probably sitting here, only some devotees in BBT who are involved in printing, they can imagine how difficult it is to publish a book, to finish a book, to make actually book from raw materials, printed papers. You have to fold it, you know, press it, and then one by one you put together, you know, like I think Bhagavad Gita was having 18 or 20 papers that you were supposed to put them together, and then you put under the press, and then you cut it with the saw, you know, on the sides, 3-4 places, and then you put some thread in it, and then you put glue in it, you know, and then keep it for 12 hours to dry, and then you take it and you start cutting from the sides this extra paper. It's really tremendous work. And doing this all work at home is actually terrible work. Sorry to say this. And our hands was all bleeding. We couldn't resist anymore, because each time you cut the book, sometimes you cut your fingers, and each time you take back and forth this thing, you know, homemade articles, instrument, tools, we were having all swollen our hands, sometimes very difficult even to chant japa. It was that bad. So, it was amazing that all this dust which was coming out of Srila Prabhupada's books we were cutting, we were having, of course, newspapers on the floor, it was coming together. Sachisuta was collecting all this dust and keeping it there, you know, in a pot. And we didn't know for a long time what the hell he is doing with this dust. And then someday we came to know that actually when he is cooking dal, he is mixing this dust in the dal and giving us to eat. We didn't know that we are eating dust, actually paper dust. And then we caught him, he said, "Hey, what you doing?" He said, "Come on, this is holy dust from Bhagavad Gita, from Srila Prabhupada's books. How we can throw this away?" And all devotees were holding their heads. My God, what an idea. To come up with such an idea, amazing, you know. In a jail, he has the first idea of making the most lightest japamala. You can never possibly even think of that. But he thought of that. And it was very practical, I'll tell you. It was practical and it was painless. Why painless? I'm going to tell you why. Because at first we were fanatics. We were thinking japamala has to be only having 108 beads. And we were not eating our bread, which was given us 3 slices of bread in the morning, afternoon and evening. We were not eating this bread, we were smashing it and mixing some sugar and keeping there in a plastic bag for 7 days. It gets little rotten and then you take it out. It's very nice, it's like a plasticine. You can make very beautiful beads out of this. And then from your sock thread, you take out the socks, somebody is holding in a pot, and somebody is taking out one by one, you know, if there is three colors, three people, they pulling out these threads. It's very easy, very nice actually work. Very nice engagement also, devotional service. Just like Matajis, they're making garlands. We used to make like that sock thread, you know. And so then we were using this sock thread to put all these 108 beads together. But the problem was, you struggle so hard and you make all these beads, and then after a few days the police comes in and he finds these beads and he beats you up with these beads so heavily. And it hurts. That's why it hurts. So then Atmananda Das come up with an idea of making 54, and then you chant two rounds, it becomes 108. But then 54 was also very difficult to hide in our pillows, and it was also hurting very badly. So we started making 27. And then we started to make even 9. And then we chant 12 rounds, it becomes one round. It was a big headache, of course. Then we used to keep our fingers here to count how many rounds we have chanted. Sometimes we get messed up, you forget, and then you chant all over again and again, you know, like this. But Sachisuta came up with a fantastic idea, and we call it painless beads. From what? He learned how to, you can pull out a long thread from a blanket, and he made 108 knots. And on each, we used to chant one times. And it was painless beads. When the police catches you, nothing he can do. When he beats it down, doesn't hurt, you are happy. I think my time is over. Your time is also coming close to the end to take prasadam. Smell comes already. I feel the smell. Maybe one question, if there is any, we can answer and then we can quit, I think. Yes, please. Oh, very good. It's in the book, why I have named it salted bread. It's a preface, the first page actually, first couple of pages at least. When you read it, it says, mentions that you didn't read the book. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll tell you. Because we have been in psychiatric hospitals, very, very painful experience there, injections and stuff like that. We have been in a jail, in many, many jails actually. I have been in 6 different jails. While they were taking from Armenia to Russia, they take you from jail to jail. And everywhere you go, process was the same. You eat 3 slices of bread every day for 2 years. Okay? And at the beginning, it was okay. You can eat the bread normally. But after some times, when you don't have nutrition, you don't have a saliva in your mouth. No water produces. Because you are not eating properly. No saliva there. So it's very, very hard to swallow the bread. And we used to put salt on the bread and then eat. Salt is creating artificially this saliva, and then you can swallow. So out of many, many heavy experiences in a jail, this was the worst experience. That you know that every day you have only 3 slices of bread to eat. Nothing more and nothing less. Well, less is possible, more is not possible. So out of this all, that was the worst. And that's why it's named salted bread. Some people, they think it's a cookbook, because how to make salted bread, maybe. And in internet, if you type salted bread in Google or Yahoo, it will bring some recipes for you. How to make salted bread. But it has nothing to do, of course, with cookbook. We all know why it is. What time is prasadam actually? 9:30? Yeah. We have 5 minutes more. Anybody wants to? Yes, please.
In your previous lecture on Bhagavatam, you said that China will come out as a financial leader in 2025.
I am not following. I'm sorry, I cannot. Either you talk too close or...
In your previous lecture...
That I understood.
You said that China will emerge. China will come out financially in 2025.
Yeah.
So there are 108 projects China has undertaken involving trillions of dollars, billions of dollars.
Godes?
China.
Yeah.
Many projects are coming. 108 big projects.
Yes.
Very huge projects.
Yes.
And it will be like economic superpower, as you said in the last lecture.
Yes, yes.
So my question is that China is anti-God. They are not believing in God. They are not following any Vedic civilization.
Why you think so?
That, I mean, there is no freedom of religion.
I am not agree with you.
Okay.
I wouldn't say China is a godless country. There is also, they also believe in Buddha, no? They follow some Buddhism is there. Why? First time I'm hearing that China is a godless land. They have very ancient culture. That's what I know about China. And there are very actually prominent, you know, kind of a, you know, traditions that they follow still. I'm not saying in entire China. Entire India also doesn't follow the... Oh, sorry, you finished your question already? Or I started to speak. You okay, I'm sorry. You go ahead, finish.
So, mostly the those who are not Krishna conscious...
Yes.
They are called demonic people.
They are what?
Demonic.
Demoniac? Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
No. They are not demoniac. They are in ignorance. They are not demoniac. That's because we didn't reach yet to them. That means Srila Prabhupada didn't reach to their heart. But I'm not agree that they are demoniac. That means I was a demon before my Krishna consciousness. I was opposite. I will tell you something. Please forgive me all who is sitting here. I was... And I'm not telling this from out of pride, and please forgive me all the deities, all the humble devotees, all. I'm really going down with my mind and soul and heart and body in front of all of you. And I have to admit that I was not any worse person before Krishna consciousness than now I am. I'm not telling this out of pride, but I would never ever harm anyone. I would never do anything bad. I would do bad to me, but I would never do bad to anyone. I swear to Krishna. Never came to my mind ever to do something bad to someone. And I know many devotees. I know devotee who is sitting here also. He was a wonderful person before his Krishna consciousness. And he shared his past with me. I was crying. I'm always thinking of him. I'm not agree that who is not Krishna conscious is demon. I'm very sorry. And Prabhupada never said that everybody is a demon who is not Krishna consciousness. There are so many wonderful people. They are not Krishna conscious, but they are wonderful people. They are supporting devotees and they are supporting Krishna consciousness. Why they are demons? We were fanatics. Actually, I will tell you something. After I became Krishna consciousness, I start doing even worse things than I was doing before Krishna consciousness. For example, when I was before Krishna consciousness, I had very deep respect to my parents. And I had wonderful parents. I had excellent parents, and I'm always thankful to God I had such a wonderful parents. They're non-believers. I never heard any times in my 18 years I have been living with my parents, my first 18 years, I never heard from my parents even a single time discussion about God. They were godless people, but they were wonderful people. My parents would never harm anyone, never say any bad things to anyone, never in my house discussed anything which is bad. I never heard anything like that. My mother and my neighbor were so close. Our neighbor knew better where is my mom's pickles than my mom. My mom used to stand up on our balcony and call, "Hey, Nadia." The name of my neighbor was Nadia. "Do you know where is my cucumber picker? I am searching all my drawers. I cannot find." And she will say, "You don't know, you kept it last time there." They were so close to each other. You wouldn't believe, but I am born in August 26th, and our neighbor had a daughter in August 29th. 3 days difference. Only 3 days. I am 3 days elder. And what happened? They were both, two neighbors were same time in a hospital having children. Interesting, isn't it? And what happened? Our neighbor had a breast poison, some kind of. That she were, the doctors didn't allow her to feed by breast milk because baby will die, get poison, food poison. And she was very unfortunate lady because she never experienced what is that ecstasy feeding the baby. You know, it's an ecstatic thing for a woman. It's an ecstatic thing to feed the baby, holding and feeding the baby. She never experienced that. It's like a punishment. And what happened? My mama was having too much breast, milk in her breast. And she will feed me in one breast and this girl in the other breast. 5 years. 5 years I have eaten my mommy's breast and my neighbor's daughter ate the same. Can you imagine this? She is a demon. My mother is a demon because she was not Krishna consciousness. I won't accept that. How we can say that? If you want to know, actually, I would tell you, this is one of the reasons we are not succeeding in our preaching. Because we see others as demons. But opposite, in a Shastra it says, you have to look to the dog, to the sadhu, to all the people with the same eye. If you see with the same eye to everybody, you will not distinguish this is a demon and that is a devotee. How you come to know that this is devotee and that is demon? How did you distinguish that? I'm sorry, maybe I'm getting emotional. Maybe I'm telling something which is against some of your understanding. But this is my experience. You give love, you get love. You say you are a demon, he will say you are a demon. You find some mistakes on me, I will find hundreds of mistakes on you. Just now, you tell me one mistake, and I'll tell you three back. How you will feel. And everyone can find mistakes. Each and everyone sitting here can find the mistakes on other ones. Each and everyone. That's the easiest thing you can do. But you try to find some good quality and associate with that quality and water that seed. And it will grow, become like this big tree. From this, you will get that. And because we are criticizing and we are looking karmis as they are low class people, they are useless, We are getting that reactions back. And today, how many devotees are doing so many mistakes? Do you know that? Or you don't know? And because we are so much smart, we can quote from Bhagavad Gita, we can quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, we can quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many things just to excuse ourselves. Is that correct? No matter what, on the moon there is also dots. But moon is still shining. That no matter what, this devotee is doing nonsense, he is still a devotee and I have to respect him. That's what you want to say? It's opposite. When you drink a coffee and your coffee is dripping on a brown blanket, you hardly can see that dot. But then when it falls down on a white dhoti, everybody can notice that. Isn't it? Everybody can spot. And more you go up, more people can see you. So don't think this seat is a very good seat. Because while you are sitting there on the floor, on this marble, you scratch your nose, you do whatever you want. People there, they won't see you. Third person even there, he won't see you, won't notice you. But more you go up, already 3-4 people can see. More you go up, 100 people can see you. More you go up, all world can see you. And then you do one mistake, all world will tell you, you know, hey, what the hell you are doing? And there is a saying, same people they bring you up, they will throw you down. Because we are full of mistakes. Each and every one of us. In India, I'll tell you, the biggest leather cow skin is exported from India. You have any idea about that?
Yes, number one exporter.
Yes.
2012.
And it is cow. Our mother skin, they taking all over the world. And we are talking about being pious, being an Indian, proud to be Indian. Let's do something about that. They're killing our innocent mothers, who is giving all life milk to us. And then we kill, we scatter them, and make big, big money. And then they come to our temples and giving that money and saying, here is donation for you. Build the temple. Where is this money coming from? People are giving lakhs and lakhs of rupees. Where is it coming from? Why this many grihasthas sitting here, honest grihasthas, they cannot make lakhs of rupees? Why? Because they are pious. Because they don't want to slaughter their mothers. Because they don't want to cheat anyone. That's the main reason. And you're talking about China being godless? I'm not agree with you, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
That means either you are not reading about that country or you have very less knowledge about that country. And same way, I just brought the example, half of the Indians are not vegetarians. Otherwise we would never see non-veg food on the streets. If you want to see something good in India, you will see. If you want to see something good in China, you will see. If you want to see something bad in China, you will see. If you want to see something bad about India, you will see. I am by profession, I am a photographer. You give me if I get my camera, and you give me 3 days here in India and 3 days in China, okay? 3 days only. I am not asking more. 3 days. In 3 days, I make two good presentations. One about good sides about India, and one is about bad sides in India. And I'll make it for you. I'll make it successful. I guarantee you. Just 3 days. And I can present to the world India as I am proud to be Indian. And I can present India in such a way that you will say, I am not Indian. And same is about China. It depends your consciousness. It depends your qualities. That boy is smiling so nicely. I like it. I love you, actually. And people, one sec. And people, I stay 10 years in India. Out of my 27 years, 28 years being devotee, 10 years I spend in India, in Mayapur, Calcutta and Mayapur, mainly, West Bengal. I speak Bengali also, little bit, but I speak. So, when I return back to Armenia, people, they say, oh, karmis, of course. As you say, demons, which I am not agree with. They ask me, hey, how is that 10 years? Oh my God, 10 years you stay in India? I say, yes, what's the problem? They say, oh my God, in Discovery Channel, they're showing so many things about India. We are afraid to go to India. They're showing how from Ganges starts from Himalaya, so pure, and then coming down, you know, people, they burning bodies, and body is not even completely burned, they throw to the Ganges, dogs are eating human bodies, and people are taking baths, some people are drinking the same water. Oh my God. And they said, you are proud to be next to the, living in Mayapur next to the Ganges? Is that what you say? I say, yes. They said, in Discovery Channel, they're showing how dirty is India. Anywhere you walk, it's stinky. They don't have a proper sewage system. All the waters from septic tank, they go to the surface, and it smells so bad. How you can live there in such country? Oh my God. See, all what they are telling is true. And sitting anybody here cannot say anything against this, because it's true. And you know what was my answer? I said, when I was going to India, I left my fly eyes here and took my honeybee eyes with me. So anywhere I go, I was just looking to the flowers. I see the flowers only and the good things. I was sitting there getting this nectar because I had honeybee eyes. I left the fly eyes there for Armenians. It's similarly to each and everyone. If you have a honeybee eye, you will see only good qualities on these people, your brothers and sisters. If you have a fly eyes, you will always see the bad qualities and do the prajalpa. We went 15 minutes over. I am extremely sorry if I say something that it was not appropriate, but I know wonderful things about China. I never been there. Actually, I want to be there. If you can help me out, I'll go there. I'll preach to these demons. Can you help me? You buy my tickets. I go and help one demon to become a Krishna conscious. I promise you that. No, praying is not sufficient, my dear. Everybody can pray. You do something real. I pray for you. Okay, I pray for you also. Hare Krishna, please tell me.
You are the seed. Krishna puts his devotee in such a miserable condition to glorify before the world. Just like you yourself, Prahlad Maharaj, and you are.
I don't really follow. What was he saying? Translation. I'm sorry. He's emotional. Yes, what's happening? What was he saying? Who will... I'm sorry, my brother. I didn't understand you. What?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, he's saying Krishna puts his devotees in miserable condition.
Yes.
Only to glorify him later. So similarly, he has put you in trouble only to glorify. That's what he is making a statement.
Okay. Prabhuji, thank you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki jai. Ratharaj Bihari ji ki jai. Hare Krishna.